Thursday the 8th of November, Rabbi Donny Elman, Tevilas Kalim.
Today's topic is on Tevilas Kalim. What we're going to do basically is give some background on Tevilas Kalim and raise a few of the issues, but naturally if anybody has a real shayla of a halacha, the best place to go is your personal rav. First thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the source. What's the source for Tevilas Kalim, for bringing your utensils, your eating utensils to the mikveh and immersing them? Then we're going to discuss if this chiyuv is a chiyuv, if it's biblical, if it's d'oraisa, or if it's rabbinic, if it's d'rabbanan. Thirdly, we're going to discuss what the difference is. What difference does it make whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? You might bring two or three nafkaminas. Okay, the source is by Midbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. Talking about after a war with Midian, and there are a number of utensils that were amongst the booty. They were amongst the loot that they gathered up, the spoils of the war. And as the pasuk says, it lists six types of metals: gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. These types of metals. It says, "Kol davar sheyava beish, anything that goes into a fire, taviu beish, you should put it to the fire, v'taher." And it should become pure. It should become tahar. Avmeinida yitzchata. It should be again purified with the waters of a mikvah. And v'chashe lavavish taviu b'mayim. The simple explanation here is the pasuk is dealing with two different problems. First problem is if you have kalim, if you have eating utensils that were used by people that do not keep kosher. So naturally, these utensils will have absorptions in them of tarfas. They'll have various different things. They'll have nevela, they'll have animals that aren't kosher, and therefore what you have to do is you have to kosher your kalim. Either you do hakavah, you cook it in water, or you use liban, you burn it out, but you need heat. So that's the first thing. Kosher yava be'esh, taviyo be'esh, you should put it through a fire. But then there was an additional problem, because it just came from a war. And therefore, there was a possibility that these utensils came in contact with death. So there was another issue of tumas meis. So for the tumas meis, they needed mei nida yitzchata, meaning they needed the paraduma. They needed the purification of the paraduma. And nowhere is it mentioned, really, at least explicitly, this concept of tefilas kalim. Come along, Chazal, they say, let's look again. It says, kol sheyava be'esh taviu be'esh, anything that comes into the fire, you should put into the fire, v'tahir, and it should become pure. Why is it mentioned it should become pure? So Rashi understands that this word v'tahir is extra, doesn't belong there, could have just said put it to the fire. What does that have to say? Put it to the fire and it will be pure. So it says it's coming to tell us that there's a third issue here, besides the fact that the kalim utensils were not kosher, and besides the fact that they were in contact with Misa, with death, right? There's a third issue that if you have kalim, some you have to put them in the mikvah, you have to immerse them and purify them that way. Rashi says because the word v'tahir is extra. The Aruch HaShulchan says if you Rambam that there's really a slightly different issue. It wasn't so much that the word v'tahir is extra. Because if you look through the Torah, very often, whenever there's an issue of tumah and tyra, that something was unclean, it was spiritually unclean, and v'tahir, and it reached tyra, so the Torah always ends up and says v'tahir. You should go to the mikvah v'tahir. It says that this is no different, it also says v'tahir. But there was something different that was bothering Chazal. He says, we never find by tumah and tyra that the way to remove tumah and tyra is by putting it through a fire. You never find that, right? So what it should have said is it should have said, so what's it talking about? We're talking about the fire. It's talking about the first issue of kashrus, that you have to kashrus your kalim because there were particles of tarfus, of unkosher things inside. So then it should have said something else. It should have said you should put your utensils in a fire for kosher, and they'll become kosher. Why does it say v'tahir? Nobody's talking about tuma. That's not what we're talking about in this verse. It must be we're talking about two things. First of all, you should put your things in the fire, and they'll become kosher. V'tahir, you should do something else. You have to get rid of a tumah too. How do you do that? By putting it in the mikvah. And this is the source really for Tevilas Kalim. Says the Torah Tmima that this halacha really has not. Some seem to learn this way, but he says no, it has nothing at all to do with kashrus, and therefore it's not like you kashrus your kli, you put it in the fire, and then the finishing touches you put in the mikvah. It has nothing to do with that. But rather, it's a completely new halacha, it's a gzeres hakasas, that you have to put it in the mikvah. Therefore, he says, there are two ramifications. First of all, the Gemara tells us, that Amar Nachman, Amar Bar Avua, Afilu kelim chadashim tzrichin tefila. Even if you have a brand new kli, nobody ever used it before. It was never used for anything. You just bought it from John Lewis. You took it home. Still, you have to take it to the mikvah. You have to immerse it in the mikvah. Why? Daha Yishanim says the Gemara, even something that's all the livnan and you kashed it, you got rid of all the non-kosher particles, still kachadashim dami, they're going to be like new because there's nothing left inside. Bafilo hachi bari tefila, still they need to be immersed in the mikvah. Says the Torah Tmima, we see it has nothing to do with kashrus. You already kashed the kli, you purged it from all tarfas, and it could be it's a brand new kli, it never came in contact with any tarfas at all. But nevertheless, there's a separate issue that has to go to the mikvah. Second ramification is, what happens if you bought a new patom for your wife to use, but you didn't bring it to the mikvah yet? You were busy, you had a meeting, you never went to the mikvah, but your wife saw the pan, and she baked the challah, she put it in the oven, it came out, come Shabbos, and you have your challah that was cooked, that was baked, in a pan that didn't have tefillah, that didn't go to the mikvah. So the halacha is that it doesn't affect, the evidence is kosher, it doesn't affect the food. Tefillah kelim is really a din to the kli, what you do to the kli, it's an issur on you, but the food itself it doesn't affect, and the food is 100% kosher. Why is that? Because he says the Torah to me, because of this principle that we said, that tefillah kelim has nothing to do with kashrus, it's a separate inyan, and therefore the food is good. Now, the next issue is, we would like to discuss, is this drasha that we just said, the tahir, that you should purify your kelim, and the way you do that is mei midah, by putting it in the mikvah. Is this a full drasha? Is this drasha have the weight of a full limud, and therefore it's a biblical command, it's a diaraisa, it's a chiv diaraisa that you have to take your kelim to the mikvah? Or maybe not, maybe it's what we call an esmachta, it's just a remez, it's just a hint, but really, essentially, it's only a dirabanan. So let's take a look at the Rambam. Rambam says like this, tefillah zu, shemetzvim ha-klisuda, this tefillah, this immersion that we do to our eating utensils, that we tivel a klisuda, a utensil which is used for the meal. So he says, and after we do this, it's going to become permitted for eating and drinking. He says, it's only me divei seifim. Only, right, which seems to be saying, at least at first glance, it seems to be saying that this is rabbinic. Says the Beis Yosef, Medivri Rabbeinu, from the words of the Rambam, it appears, Nira Shusaver Shetfila Zumid Rabbanan. It appears from the Rambam that this tefila is rabbinic, because he says, after all, he says it's Divrei Seifim. Divrei Seifim is rabbinic. And that's how the Lecha Mishnah explains the Beis Yosef from those words. In fact, the Rambam holds, Tefila Kenim is Medivri Seifim. That's the opinion of the Ram. Nevertheless, the Rajba in two places, in two tshuvas, he says, no, the Rambam holds it's the Raisa. Notwithstanding, even though the Rambam says it's Divrei Seifim, he says it's the Raisa. And the Kesef Mishnah says, because if you look further in the Rambam says, when he explains the drasha of the Tayar, the Rambam says, Mipi Ashmu Lamdu. They learned it from something they heard. So first of all, he doesn't explain. First of all, if it says Lamdu, it sounds like it's a real limud. It's not just a hint, but they learned it out. But also, Mipi Ashmuas, they say, is a reference Mipia Shmua that he heard all the way. It was a tradition from him, from mouth to mouth, meaning from one person to the other, all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu to Har Sinai. So the words Mipia Shmua love to imply that no, it's halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It's a diraisa. It's biblical. So the Rashba argues on the Ran, and he says no. The Rambam holds this midiraisa. It comes out the Rambam himself is unclear. The Rambam implies both ways. The Rambam starts off, he says divrei seifim, right? Sounds like it's a rabbinic. Right, but then he ends off and he says Mipia Shmu Lamdu. It sounds like it's a diraisa. So there's three terutzim. There's three ways to understand the Rashba. First of all, there's a halacha like this. It says we mentioned before that if you were to use your pans before taking it to the mikvah, the food would be kosher. There's an even bigger chiddush. He says really midiraisa, biblically speaking, we hold that there's no iser to use your kli before you take it to the mikvah. Let's say the mikvah closed. You went to John Lewis, you bought your pan, and you want to use it, and you realize, you know, this time the mikvah's closed, I won't be able to get in time for it. So biblically speaking, the araisa, you're allowed to use the kli, you're allowed to cook it, you're allowed to set your table and eat on it. And when the mikvah will become available, there's a mitzvah to take it to the mikvah. But there's no iser, there's no prohibition of using this utensil without the mikvah. Where does that prohibition come from? That's rabbinic. That's the Rabbanan. So this issue with Yaakov, that's what the Rambam's referring to. Because the Rambam, and I think it's a little more doing in the Rambam too, because he says that this tefillah that we make, and he throws in an extra thing. Then afterwards they're going to become permitted to eat. Right? So this, that the tefillah permits your food, that's only rabbinic. That's only divi seichem. But about it, there's a mitzvah to take it to take it. Anyways, that's the issue with Yaakov. No, Peter Rice says it's a mitzvah to take your pots to the mikvah. But if the mikvah is closed, you're allowed to use it. There's no prohibition of using the pot. There's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. What? No, you could use it. There's no mitzvah. That's the Yeraisa. Derabanan, there's a mitzvah. Derabanan, you can't. Question? Okay. Now, the Divi Shaul has a different approach. Divi Shaul says like this. He says, there's really two inyanim and tefillah. One inyanim and tefillah, which we alluded to a little bit before, is it's the gemar of kashrus, meaning you had a kli that was trei. Somebody used it for tapas. Somebody used it for neveda, perhaps something that didn't have a proper shechita, and it absorbed that. So first you have to kasher your kli, meaning you perhaps you boiled it in water, or you applied a blowtorch to it, right? You applied some sort of heat to purge it from anything non-kosher, and the finishing touch to that is that you take it to the mikvah. Why is it there to kasher? When you kasher something, take it to the mikvah. That's one thing. That's the araisa. This is a divrei shaul. He says, and according to this, the araisa, if your kli would be brand new, he holds, really, you wouldn't have to take it to the mikvah. That's the divrei shaul. But Chazal came along and they said, no, there's a second inyan of tefillah of tumah and taira, which is that even if there was no tafras that this kli came in contact with, meaning, right, this kli never came to contact with anything that was non-kosher. Nevertheless, there's a new inyan of tumah and taira that you have to take it to the mikvah. And that's even if it's a brand new kli, and that's Jerabanan. And that's Jerabanan. That's what Divi Shaul learns. So that's what the Rambam says. Again, he says, ain al inyan tumah v'taira, this second ingredient, the second aspect of immersion, which is not to kasher your kli, but it's tumah v'taira, because the kli was tame, that's what Divi Seichem. But about that, there's an additional inyan mipi ashmu alamdu, that there's a diaraisa that you have to finish out the kasha. Lecha Mishnah says something else, and he says that if you look to the, and apparently a number take this approach, that he says the kasha really doesn't start. He says the Rambam, whenever he uses the word divrei seichem, he doesn't necessarily mean that it's rabbinic, it's a mistake. Divrei seichem means it's halacha moshe mitzinai, it comes back back to Sinai. Shagas Aryeh seems to say something similar. The Rambam says the words Amru Chachamim, Chazal says the Shagas Aryeh. What it means is, it doesn't really mean that Chazal enacted entirely new decree. It means, it's not written explicitly in black and white in Torah Shebaksav. Rather, it was learned out of a drasha. Right? Chazal explained what was hidden in the Torah, and therefore the Rambam calls that Divrei Seichem, because it's something that Chazal extracted from the Torah, but it's certainly not something that they enacted on their own. And the Aruch HaShulchan says something similar, that the kasha, Divrei Seichem, isn't such a kasha. It simply means, and there's a Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Shara Sheni, that they quote, that seems to say that when he says Divrei Seichem, it doesn't mean rabbinic, it means that's the Araisa, but the Rabbanim learned it out in a drasha. Okay? So we have the Shita Sarajba, that the Rambam holds it's the Araisa. What about others? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kol Rabbeinu Hiskimu, all our Rabbanim agree, the Tefillah Zu Himen Atara. This Tefillah is the Araisa. V'hachi Kaimelon, this is how we pass in, the Tefillah Zu Himen Atara. Right? So this that we take, our eating utensils, our kli suda, we take them to the mikvah. That's a lacham and a tar. It's a biblical command. I was listening to a shiur from Rabbi Felder, Rishmu Felder, a pesuk in Lakewood, and a lot of the shiur today comes from him, is based on his sources, is from the Felder, and also from the Sefer Tfilas Kalim. He says like this. He says, what would be on Shabbos? Can you, let's say you didn't tell your kli, could you take it into the mikvah on Shabbos? So he doesn't get involved with it. There's what to talk about. But he quickly mentions that we hold the halacha, you can't tell the kli on Shabbos because it's tikkun kli, you're fixing up your kli on Shabbos. However, what? You're not allowed to use it because it's it needs immersion. Right? We hold that you have to, at least midrabanan, right? You're not allowed to use it until you take it in the mikvah. Okay, so maybe that's kind of the sheet of the Rift. The Rift Taka says, we'll see in a minute, the Rift Taka holds as mutter. Rift holds as mutter. Comes along the Bir Halacha, Shin Chav Kimmel. You can look it up and you'll know it better than me. He says, what's kind of the Rift? Why is it mutter? So he says what was just mentioned, to a certain degree, he says, well, if you look at the food itself, it's mutter balatachi. The food will be mutter, right? What about the Kli? So he says, the Kli is not tikkun mana. Why not? I think somebody had this question too, because he says, the Kli is not tikkun mana, because it's only drabanan. Because taking it to the mikvah is only drabanan. So it says Rabbi Felder, and it's not him, the Sefer Tzilas Kelim, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman deal with it. Bir Halacha seems to be saying, not like we said from the Aruch HaShulchan, Bir Halacha seems to be saying that Tzilas Kelim, taking it to Mikvah, is only Dirabanan. Like, that's what it sounds like. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's a mistake. Really, Tzilas Kelim is Diraisa. But the Bir Halacha says it's Dirabanan. How can it be? He says, calm down. We'll explain it. Generally speaking, during the week, taking your kelim to the mikvah is a diraisa. You have a key to take it to the mikvah, and you're not allowed to eat it, use it even, and it's diraisa. He says, but on Shabbos, you can't take it to the mikvah, because the Chazal said you can't do it, there's an ifsa tikkun mana. Therefore, you're an oinus. There's nothing you can do about it. And because of that, there's no longer a key of diraisa to take it to the mikvah on Shabbos. Right? However, so let's say somebody says, okay, on Shabbos, I can't take it to the mikvah, I'm going to use it. The Rebbe said, no. Shabbos, we're going to make Shabbos like no worse than the rest of the week. The rest of the week, you can't take it. You have to take it. You can't use it without going to the mikvah. On Shabbos, you have to take it to the mikvah too. Right? So this, that the Bir Halacha says, that Tfilas Kenim is only Drabanan, he's saying that specifically on Shabbos. Right? During the week, there's a mitzvah, the Araisa, to take your Kenim to the mikvah. But on Shabbos, there's no such mitzvah because it's an Isra of Tikkun Mana. Come along to Rabbanan, and they say that you have to take it anyways. We find a similar thing in Mordechai by Tisus, very similar halacha, that if somebody were to wear a four-cornered garment that doesn't have tisus, so he's mavakal mitzvah diraisa, right? He's violating a biblical command. You have to put tisus on your garment. But let's say it's on Shabbos, right? He can't tie the knots of the tisus on his garment on Shabbos. So the halacha is, diraisa, if he's wearing it, he hasn't violated the command, because he's not allowed to put tzitzis on it. So how can you tell me I'm violating the command? Make up your mind. Should I put it on or not? Right? You hold it, I don't have to put it on. I'm allowed to wear it. Come along to Rabbanan, they say, even so, as an Issa Rabbanan, don't wear a four-cornered garment even on Shabbos, unless it's tzitzis. Okay? So, we have, if you type, essentially, the mitzvah of tzitzis kam is diraisa. What about glass? What about glass? So that, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, he says, kli schuchis. It's like a glass kli, it's like kli matchis, it's like a metal kli, linyan tefila. He says, v'tefila zuhim drabanan, v'kli schuchas. This mitzvah of tefila by glass is drabanan. You make a brach anyways. You still say, asher kishabas es mitzvah tefila kli, but it's only drabanan. Right? Chacham Masadam, also, if you look at Chacham Masadam, he says, chachamam tiknu tefila l'kli schuchas. Chazal decreed, they enacted a din of immersion for a glass kli, right? Because they have similarities to iron. They have similarities to metal. What's the similarities? Something that we're not familiar with so much because we don't usually make things out of glass, but apparently you can grind it down, you can melt it, and you can blow a new kli from the same thing, which is similar to metal. Metal also could be shaped and formed even afterwards. Okay, so we have metal, generally speaking, at least the six metals listed in the plastic, are diraisa. Those six, we said, are gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead, right? Glass, we're saying, is derabanan, right? That also seems to be okay. What about other metals, right? There's other metals. There's more metals than just six. He says, well, bronze, okay, this is coming from Rabbi Salter. Bronze, he claims, is copper and tin, right? And those are both chayiv anyway, so it's not much of a shayla, right? So bronze, you have to take a nickel. What about brass? Brass. So brass, he says, is copper and zinc. Zinc's not one of the six. But since copper generally is the rove, it's the majority, so you go bust at the majority, and therefore it needs the mikvah. Okay? But what about, this one's hard for me, aluminium. I pronounce it aluminum. Okay. So what about that? That doesn't have any of the six inside it. Right? That doesn't have any of the six inside of it. That's totally something new, right? That wasn't mentioned in the pasuk. What's halacha there? Do those need tefillah? Are they diraisa or drabanan? And we're going to see that there's three opinions on aluminum. We're going to go through them. Okay, first opinion we're going to say is the Tveris Yisrael, and also Tzvitas Kalim says that he was told this by Rav Vazna. Rav Vazna Shlita held the same way, that it's diraisa. That it's a biblical command for all metals. The Pasuk only listed six metals, so we learned out from those six, right? It means all metals. But why did they pick those six? Because those six happened to be by the Kalim of Midian. Those were the ones that they captured from Midian, so it says these things. The Midianites didn't have any aluminium utensils, so the Torah didn't say you have to tifle it. But with that, we understand that's the same thing. That's the approach of the Torah Yisrael and Rav Vazna. Comes along with Moshe. There's two shuvas from Rav Moshe. First shuvah from Rav Moshe is Chelik Beis Yoradei al Kuf Samach Dalad, and it was written in Shnas Tavshin Lamed Beis. I think that would be 1972 about. Okay, so he says like this. He has a shuvah like this. His shuvah is about an airplane. Okay, there's an airplane. Now, an airplane, his airplane had two compartments. There was an upper level and a lower level. The lower level is cargo. Okay, and what separated the two is a metal, which was not one of the six metals listed in the pasuk. For argument's sake, we'll say it was aluminum. And the question was like this. There was a mace. There was a corpse in the lower compartment. And the question is, can a kohen ride on the upper level? Right? Because he's not allowed to come, a kohen, we know, is not allowed to come in contact with death. He has to keep himself away from tumas mace. So is he allowed to ride on the upper level? Why? Because there's a chatzitza, so to speak. There's a barrier between the two. So the question is this aluminum separation, is that a valid barrier? We're not going to pass on halachas here. If anybody's a kohen, he should ask his own rav, right? But these are some shuvas from Rav Moshe. So he says like this. Says Rav Moshe, he says, well, we know that anything that in itself could become tame cannot act as a barrier. Right? I suppose it's some permeates it, I suppose. I don't know. Right? But if it in itself, however, if it's something that does not become tame, so that in effect is a separation. Right? So we have to decide, will aluminum become tame? That's what Rav Moshe says. So he says it's very probable that it will not become tame. Why? Because the source for apparently for tuma is the same pasuk of these six metals. The same pasuk that's written by Tzidus Kalim by Kli Mejon is these six metals, right? With gold, silver, copper, right? Iron, tin, and lead, right? Those things. Says Rav Moshe, well, the Torah could have just said in general term. It could have said naskes. It could have said metal, or it could have said one. It could have said iron, and we'll learn all of them out from it. Why does it list so many? It must be because it's specifically these and none others, right? It's Shisa, Ksuvim, Habam, Tiachad. There are six books that are coming together. You can't announce them. Listen, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky mentions the same svar, that if it said Shisa, Ksuvim, Habam, Tiachad, if it mentions these six, it could have only said one. It must be because it's only these six. He says more. Says of Moshe. And besides, Tumah and Tayor, when we're talking about things that are impure, you know, it's very hard to explain to somebody what's an impurity. You look at it, it looks the same. Right? It's something, to a certain degree, it's beyond rational thought. It's not a svara. Right? So he says, you can't say a svara, I think that this should be tameh, or I think that should be tar. Because the whole thing is beyond thought. There's no rational reason to it. So if you see in the pasuk that a certain thing is tameh, right? He says, you can't learn out to anything else. You can't make a comparison and say, I think this should be like that. Because there's no room for thought here. It's all gzeiras hakasher. So says Rav Moshe, therefore, it's a second reason that's very probable that even if the Torah would have listed perhaps only one metal, right, it would have said silver, it's very probable we could not have learned out to other metals, because you can't make rational comparisons when it comes to Gzeres HaKasuk, the Torah and Torah. However, in this tshuva, Rav Moshe doesn't come to a conclusion. He leaves it hanging. Maybe yes, maybe no. He doesn't answer it. However, a year later, in Tavshin Lam and Gimel, there's another tshuva, which was printed in Chelek Gimel Yoredei Simen Chafteis. And there the tshuva was relevant to Tfilas Kalim. That's what he was talking about. Our sugyot, taking the kli to the mikvah. And there he says, kamo she'ena makabel tuma, just like an aluminum is not makabel tuma, kamo kein ein tzarach tfila, so too it doesn't need tfila. So Moshe seems to say, at least the Oraisa seems to hold, that the aluminum, or any other metal which is not mentioned in the pasuk, that would not need tfila mid-Oraisa. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a kind of a tshuva printed in the back of Sefer Tfilas Kalim, which a lot of our debate are coming from, and he holds the same way, that the Oraisa is no chiyuv. What about Rabbanan? Is there chiyuv to Rabbanan? So that, you could say, well, let's see. Well, glass is not metal, but it's similar to metal in some way. You could melt it down, huh? So he says, well, metal certainly is similar to metal. Right? So just like glass is a din Rabbanan, one could posit that any metal is no worse than glass, and there's a dindra abundant for that too, and therefore it needs tefillah. Rav Moshe Sternbach mentions that svara from the Chazaynish when it comes to plastic. Chazaynish, I'm not passing by plastic, but the Chazaynish says a svara by plastic that doesn't need tefillah. Why? Because, he says a little bit different, he argues, and he says that it's true Chazal made a takana by glass, but when they made the takana, plastic wasn't around. Plastic wasn't around. And therefore, the takana was never took effect on glass. I'm plastic, I'm sorry. Rav Felder says that Rav Sternbach himself doesn't seem to stay with this much, and he says Rav Moshe and Yaakov didn't stay with this either. Rav Moshe says that the insector is a chiv drabanan. Rav Moshe says it's a chiv drabanan. And Rav Yaakov in the tshuva clears, but Balpeh, he told his grandson that he held that it doesn't need tefillah at all. So it comes out, when it comes to let me get this right, by metal, aluminum, when it comes to metal, right, there are three opinions. When it comes to aluminum, the Tzaddik Yisrael holds it's the Oraisa, the Chiyuv Tefillah is the Oraisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal held that the Chiyus Tefila is Derabbanan, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal held that there's no Chiyus Tefila at all. Right? So the six metals are Diraisa. Right? Schuchis, glass, is Derabbanan. Right? And a metal which is not listed in the Torah, such as aluminum, that we have three opinions, Diraisa, Derabbanan, and no Chiyus at all. Now, what's the Nafkamina? What's the difference whether it's Diraisa, Derabbanan? So we'll quickly try to mention three Nafkaminas. As far as these nafkaminas are concerned, some of them I personally feel that I need more in, but we'll mention some of the shitas quickly anyway. First one is Abis. That's when it comes to the suffix, if there's a doubt. If you have a question, la'alacha, or maybe not la'alacha in Metzias, does something you need tefillah or not? So if it's diaraisa, so suffix, diaraisa, l'chomer, you have to be machmer, you have to take the strict route, you have to be stringent. However, if it's drabanan, right, and you have a suffix, does it need tefillah or not? Was I tefillah it? I don't remember anymore. So then, so it could be there's a din, the suffix drop button, you go to Pula. That's one very, very important nafkamina. There's another nafkamina. So there's a lacha in Shulchan Aruch. The lacha says, Rabbi Telder says this one, he says, Eima Sif Yadalad. He says, Eima Minin Katan Atzilas Kalim. You can't trust a katan that he took it to the mikveh, right? You give your kid, the 10-year-old boy, you say, here, Yanko, please take this down to the mikveh. He comes back half an hour later, he says, here, mom, right? You can't believe him. Did he go to the mikvah? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he's not a kosher egg. You can't believe him. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch. However, if there was a gadol who was looking out the window near Rav Chunas and he saw that he actually did put it into the mikvah, so then it's a good tefillah. Okay. Al-Pi Pashtus, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any differences. He doesn't differentiate between whether he was tevil metal or whether he was tevil glass. He just says you don't believe him. And would seem to apply that no matter what, you don't believe him. However, if you have the source for the halacha, is a Trumas Hadeshin. Right? The Beis Yosef brings it down, the Be'er Gadol brings it down, it's a Trumas Hadeshin. And the Trumas Hadeshin says, you know why you don't believe him? Because Tfilas came as the Yoraisa. Right? Since Tfilas came as biblical, so a Katan is not believed on something that's the Yoraisa. Huh? So the implication is, let's say I can somehow work it out that my Tfilas came as Jabbanan. Why? Because I'm titling glass. Huh? It's Jabbanan. The implication is the Katan would be believed. Right? But it's a dilemma because the Shulchan Aruch didn't speak it out. So it's not really clear. The Taz, when he comes to explain, says why we don't trust the Katan, he says the same thing. The Fisha Tfilas came the Araisa because it's the Araisa, again implying that Zechuchas would be different. Right? And so to the Vilna Gaon, he also mentions because it's the Araisa. Oh. Nevertheless, there's a Prima Gadim who says that even by Drabanan you won't believe him. Even by Drabanan you won't believe him. And he bases this on a Ramah Kuf Klav Zayin that says a Katan is not believed no matter what. If it's a Tchazik Yisura. We already know that something is us, and the Katan is saying that became permitted, so he's not believed. So here this Kli was us, so you weren't allowed to use it, there was a provision on it, right? And the Katan is saying, I removed it, so it says the Prima Gadim, we can apply the Ramah, it says it's not good. Okay. However, the Chachmas Adam brings a Magin Avram who challenges this Ramah. Okay? Basically, the Ramah, there's a halacha by Pesach. If you have to, before Pesach, you have to do a bedikas chametz. You have to search your house to make sure there's no chametz there. Let's say you have a house, whatever it may be, what the situation is, and a katan says, Daddy, I checked this house already, or Mommy checked it. This house is perfectly chametz free. Can you believe the katan? Can you believe him? So you could, actually. You could. So the Ramah says, that's not a kasha on me, because that's talking about when it's not a chazik yisura. It wasn't previously us. That's what the Ramah says. Says the Magen Avraham, Tafman Azayin, he says, you're making a mistake. This halacha of Bedikas Chametz is even when it was a Chazik Yisura. And there's a halacha that Katan is believed. Why? Because it's the other. Because he has the ability to rectify the situation himself. So says the Magen Avraham that really, when it comes to a Drabanan, as long as the Katan has the ability to fix, to remedy the situation, you would believe the Katan. So Chachmas Adam Paskins, he says that if it's Erev Shabbos, and I guess your dire situation is either going to the mikveh or using the utensil and baking your food, but you don't have time to do both, right? So, he says, if you have a kli schuchis, if you have a glass utensil, so he says, neman, he relies on the Magen Avraham that you are believed, the ain't ala medrabanan, because it's only, because kli schuchis is only medrabanan, and a katan could be believed by medrabanan. There's other refreshim too, the Achashukhan and the Chalkas Binyamin, but for another time. Just what is mentioned is one more possible nafkamina. It's really the same nafkamina, but it moves up a notch. What would be if you give it to your bar mitzvah boy? Right? I just heard a young boy naming this morning. Sounds like he was a bar mitzvah anyway. Right, let's say you give it to your bar mitzvah boy, and you send him to go to Tevel. Right? So certainly we should believe him then. So he says, no, it doesn't work that way. Why? Because really, in order to be a gadol, a person has to be physically mature. He has to bring beis ha'aretz. Huh? So normally, we say there's a chazaka derava. Right? You could assume if he's 13 years in a day, he's reached a certain age, you could assume he's physically mature, and therefore we believe him. So when do we use chazaka derava? We only use it on something that's derabana, only on something that's rabbinic. Now, she ain't getting something that's diaraisa, we can't use the chazaka derava. You have to know with certainty, before you believe the child, you have to know with certainty that he is a gadol, that he's physically mature. So therefore, by clean matches, even if a 13-year-old were to come in, you couldn't believe him. However, if it's and he's 13, you could believe him, even according to Prima Gadim, he holds in this situation, you could rely on Chazaka Tevava, and he clears even by matches too. Okay.